Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No, what?
They're listening to the Screw podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on the jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Thanks for tuning in to The Screw. It's Felicia Rose with her trusty Rusty. Hey, love, what's up? Ooh,
trusty and Rusty. Yeah, that's me. Not feeling too rusty yet. Well, I am still feeling rusty. I still got this thing in my tummy.
I don't want to talk about this fucking beast inside of you. It gives me the EBGBs, and I don't like it.
I know.
Basically, Aaron has alien in his stomach, and I am going to predator your ass because I can't. See, I can't.
That's the nightmare I keep having. Oh, my goodness. So horrible. I had this weird dream. I'm totally saying this. Like, you know, somebody click here. I had this weird dream that, like, you know, it came out like a prolapsed asshole.
I don't know why we have to talk about your goddamn demon that way. I just don't get it. I don't want it.
No, you don't have to have it.
It freaks me out. I'm not going to lie. It's one of the things that freaks me out.
Yeah, you should try having it in your body.
I know. Oh, listen, I was the person Googling for you to make sure you weren't going to fucking die. I now know way more about a hernia than I ever wanted to know.
That's so much better. And I only know what I ask you because
that's
I need to
know. That's very true. Listen, I get that. I have my roommate and I do that. So.
Can I not get fucked with a hernia?
No, you can. You just have to not strain yourself. So I don't know what that means.
How does one take dick in the ass without straining themselves?
Exactly.
I mean,
I don't know. Figure it out. Write a book on it. Make money. How to fuck with a hernia. If there isn't a how to fuck with a hernia book, you should make it. Make it like a children's book, but not for children, you know?
You know what
like an adult comic. What's an adult picture book? A comic book? Make one of those. Make one with fun pictures that show exactly what to do when you have.
I'm like, wait, an adult picture book is a porno magazine, isn't it?
Sure. I don't know. But no. You make it nice and informative. This is how to fuck with a hernia.
Yeah. Well, you know. Right. So this is the thing, right? Like, and I won't talk about those details, but like there becomes a frustration. I'm a highly sexually active individual. And like having a demon child in your belly while you're trying to do that, it's not easy being herny. Yee. Anyways, fuck that.
Sorry. No, I can't wait for the day that you text me that it's out.
I know.
And that I can now be your full friend again. Because until then you fucking disgust me. No, I'm kidding. It's just the way you describe it. Like you describe it in these awful ways.
I mean, I was like sent you a picture. I mean, it's weird. It's a weird thing.
It is weird, and that's why it's weird. You could have any ailment right now, and it wouldn't bother me. But that particular one is just creeps me out.
It's like you swallow a golf ball, and it wants to go. Like the doctor, when he was trying to tell me literally what it was, I was like, ay, 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 ay. No,
please don't.
I won't even say what it actually is out loud. Hernia is the nice version of what.
I have to get 2 root canals within the next few months, and I will not let them explain to me what the process is.
No.
Nope.
Don't tell me.
Nope. Don't tell me. I will rather die than know. And especially because 2 days ago, no, yesterday, I had work done, and the Novocaine didn't Novocaine me properly.
So it was like,
I was numbing my freaking shin, but it was my last tooth on the left. And it
the last tooth on the left,
not to be confused with the movie The Last House on the Left. And I could feel half of the dental work being done.
Well, you're
luckily he's real quick. He's quick and dirty,
apparently.
I don't even know if he's good at what he's doing, because to be honest with you, I already had to fix something. But it, at least it was quick, but man, I felt every fucking
Let
thing.
Me just it say, your teeth look beautiful. They do. I mean, I get it.
Yeah, but he didn't touch any of the front ones.
No, but I mean, like, your teeth have always looked beautiful to me. Like, no, it's good. You still have front ones. Yeah, no, I'm in the same
place. I'm getting a bridge. The missing ones will be fixed by the end of the year.
We're going to get bags of dough, and you're going to get fucking implants. Like, fuck yeah. Some nice
No, because I can't get implants because I have missing jaw above there because I got punched in the face like a fucking asshole.
They have to be able to do that.
No, yeah, they can take bone out of you and graft it into you, and I don't want that.
Where did they take it out?
Or no, maybe the bone comes from a cadaver. I don't know, but I...
Wait, you could have
I'm getting
dead
a
dead boner in your mouth? Oh my yeah. God, that's amazing. Yeah.
The jokes are endless. Oh I already have God, cum I in my mouth forever, so... It's fantastic.
This is great. I like where this podcast went today.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not
I do like my teeth. I want to preserve my teeth, but I don't know if
you
I'm
know,
going
I
to be able to do that.
You never realize you're from the Sexy Gap Club? We've talked about this probably.
You never realized that?
No, we probably talked about this like 12 years ago. Like you, me, and Madonna. Like that's.
I had, my gap was actually bigger when I was younger, but I had braces for like
You
10
had
months.
Braces? Oh, man.
Briefly. That's why I have all these oral issues because instead of pulling my teeth to make space, they decided to shave all my goddamn teeth down on the sides.
Really?
And they became so sensitive that I never had a cavity until after that work was done. And then I started to get cavities between the teeth where they shaved. And
that sounds like a class action suit to me. Yeah, go okay. after whoever developed the pro. Anyways, yeah. So
anyways,
it's
yeah.
springtime and I've been writing a lot again. And, you know, when you're looking at something you haven't done in a while, I when I go back and look at writing from 10 years ago, even definitely 20 years ago, certainly 30 years ago, I'm like, who is this little shit? Look at the shit he's complaining about. Look at this. What a fucking drama queen. You know, like, because I don't process things that way anymore, obviously.
Right.
You know, and I think that's a good thing. And one has to look at it and say, oh, poetry, especially like throughout your life course, captures a time and a place. And that should be what we ground it in. But I always use the process as a way to have a conversation with myself. Especially mm-hmm. when I stress out, but I don't collapse when I stress. I just, you know, I get a little, I usually get tired when I have a lot going on.
I was gonna say, you take a nap if you
yeah.
really need
my,
to.
My go-to becomes, I should rest. But in general, when I know I have a lot to do, is especially when I try to take the opportunity to like write and have a dialogue with myself to figure out what is upsetting me the most right now or what is the most on my mind so I can put it to bed and work on the things that I need to work on. Adulting sucks. Like, let's be real, everybody in the world. My partner said to me the other day, you know why it sucks the most? Because nobody prepares you for it. This is not part of this wild, like, list of education that everybody's getting and everybody's, you know, be serious, learn your math. But they don't tell you how to learn to survive being 18 plus. and, you know, I would argue that some working class kids learn a little bit better than others, but that's mostly because you're working on, like, learning on the job, as they say.
Sure.
You're being thrown to the wolves maybe a little bit earlier. And you know, there are certain aspects that you just have to figure out. But it is unfortunate because I do think it creates a lot of stress. I remember seeing a lot of people by the time they were like 25, 27, pushing 30, really being bummed out. This is not what you expected. I did not expect to have to be spending so much time grounded in responsibilities, you know? And it is tough. It's a tough part of the process. I would say that I missed, you know, being young and not having to worry about those things, but it was so long ago. I don't really remember, and I wouldn't trade my knowledge of today for my stupidity of yesteryear ever.
I don't remember a time where I wasn't feeling responsibility at all times.
Right.
I do not remember that time. whether it was I needed to be the best in school, I needed to have the best grades so I could get to the into the college that I wanted to get into, because or to get the scholarship, because, you know, my parents drilled it into my head, they're not paying for my school, they're not paying for my college, they're not helping, there's no money, we already blew your college fund, that whole thing was just constantly like drilled into me. So I had this self-appointed pressure that, or I was doing things like playing cello, I was in theater, you know, things that I loved, but gave me the anxiety and pressure of, well, you have to be great at it. You have to do the best job. Now you have to perform in front of hundreds of people, all that different shit. You know, soccer, I had to do a great job at it. You know, I was the fat kid, so I had to prove to everybody that there I had worth on the field by being the best at defense, by barreling into bitches. Like, I always had the pressure of responsibility my whole life. And I think a piece of it is, you know, like you said, if you grow up lower class, working class, low, even low middle class, you don't know what it's like to take a break. You know, it's you're constantly in fucking go mode. And that's why I have, I still to this day, I'm in go, go, go. Like this weekend, I had a bit of a meltdown on my way home from a wrestling show because I literally was like, I haven't stopped in months. I haven't taken a minute, a break, a beat. Even when I'm like away and not having the full scope of what I normally do on my plate, it doesn't fucking matter. And I just, and I also like, I get overwhelmed talking to people every single fucking day of my life. I can't do it. I don't know why people think that I want to communicate every single day. I need silence. That's how I am. And so I finally broke. I broke this weekend. I was like, no. And yes, I was pre-period. I was in a foggy haze to begin with anyways, but I just needed to like break away. And I think that there's something to be said about just giving yourself a minute. I know that this is not where we were going with this conversation,
I like it.
It ended up here. And I just want to stress to everybody, whatever it is that you, maybe you are the opposite. Maybe you need people around you and you have had too much time alone. Yeah. That could be it. Whatever it is that you need to do to make sure that you stay okay, do that thing before it's too late. Like I got real close. I got real close to it being too late. Like
I was worried about you.
Mind, you know, and it only took me about 24 hours to fully reset. I gave myself a few extra days, like as far as not really talking to people much. Yeah. Like you and I spoke, but you know, when you have business stuff also to tend to, which Aaron and I work together, so like we have business stuff to tend to. So it that's different, right? You can't call it a work for 4 days because you're in a mood, right? It's different. But you know, no, the rest of the people in my life, aside from who I was physically in front of, I was like, y'all, I just need a minute. I need a beat. I need silence. I have overdone it as far as just work on top of my social battery, you know, I did more socially in the last couple of weeks than I had in a long time.
Well, and I was hoping you were like walking in the woods with the doggy. I've known you for so long. I figured you were taking some sort of like technology break because you probably needed it. And, you know, but so I tried to send like loving, encouraging messages.
Yes. You did.
I knew you would get back when you would get back. And like, you know, and I respect, we all need a break sometimes. You know, I've definitely am at the point in my semester, my year where it's, you know, I'm noticing my partner and I are a little bit more short fused with each other because stuff is hitting a precipice or whatever, a climax, if you will, and we have to get through it and it'll be okay again. You know, but this is the shit that bumps people out, right? You know, like this is adulting, doing shit like, and I'm not saying the social part, honestly I think we would all be better and require less social boundaries and less alone time if we didn't have all this other shit that was constantly going on in our lives, because it's not fun to deal with stress. It's not like some of the shit that we have to do, whether it's making a doctor's appointment or whatever, you know, anybody who has been doing these stuff these days, if you notice, it's a minimum 20, 25 minute wait for anything that you're trying to organize medically. And that's that takes a toll as well. You have to really make the space. The game is not on our side. It's not forever on our side. And it is where I do hope that you'll hear this kind of backlash about, young people, they're just buried in their technology. Honestly, I wish we were using technology for a lot more things, to make a lot more things simple. I am always surprised that we really aren't at a nice, easy doctor's offices. All have their Calendly appointment thing set up. You pick online and reserve the space. Why do we still need to fucking talk to anybody? Massively inefficient. I want to talk to people about things I want to talk to people about.
And those people that you're talking to are already so busy and inundated with updating patients' records and, all of the I don't know their minutiae.
No, they have tons of side work.
They have
the phones are like the least of their fucking
right, and that's why you get thanks for calling. How can I help you?
Yeah,
or no, you don't even get though. You get blah 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 medical. What? Yeah.
Yeah.
Tuesday, 3:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bring your records. Bye. Exactly. Okay, I did not need to talk to somebody to just get abused. Like, that person's clearly busy. They have their customer facing and they have other shit that they have to do. Let that be one less thing that they have to deal with.
Yeah, this is a great, inefficiency with some of the stuff that I see. But, it is why we have such a poorly rated healthcare system in this country, despite what people may think. It wouldn't kill us to have a little universal health care that was regulated in a way that
I would say it would probably keep us alive.
Well, and here would be my argument. Employers always want employees to be more efficient and like more time. Why do you think employees are distracted and busy and not able to focus? Look at what a fucking clusterfuck the rest of dealing with our lives are. Right. Make shit simple. They have the technology. You know what I'm saying?
if you look at the companies that I would argue truly care about their employees, aka they have free daycare on site. Yeah. They have a gym on site. True. They have a place where you can go take a quiet break.
Subsidized healthcare.
They keep food stocked into, you can basically eat 3 square meals a day in their, kitchen. Uh-huh. They have fantastic health care, fantastic benefits, time off. Those employees will be their employees for life. Damn. They will be there for life, and those employees will be happy for life, and they will be good and efficient at their jobs. I know not every business can just do that, but why not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Do more for your company and the people working for you, and they will do more for you. It's very simple.
It's like a case of don't know what's best for you, but we also know it's bigger than that, right? The broader idea is keeping people in fear and anxiety about their jobs, so you can degrade their labor, so you can provide them benefits that 10 years ago, nobody would have taken a job for some of those benefits. We are definitely watching the world kind of switch into a not super excited full-time labor benefits economy, into a very gig consultant. We don't want to give you healthcare. We don't want to give you benefits. So it's much better if you work outside of the system. I mean, I've been having all these conversations about, you're in consulting. That must be hard. It is hard. It's impossibly hard. It's chasing paper hard, But I will say this. I do think there is a liberation in thinking about your labor as more of your own. And I do think we're getting there in so many levels with the main employers really being kind of these horrific companies that want to classify everybody as something else so they don't have to take care of you while profits soar through the roof. I mean, everything is at record highs for the rich and at record lows for the poor, So there's your dose of excitement. I want to say something. I want to say something because it's just something I'm feeling about the politics of now, and not meaning it to be controversial or anything. I just, you know, the stuff on the college campuses is obviously horrific, and we shouldn't see, like, limiting of free speech. And it's not about the issues at hand. Totally, like, satisfied with what everybody is, like, protesting for. I wish we had this energy all the time for the people struggling and in their destitution in this country. And I don't mean it in a nationalistic way. I mean it like in an in-your-backyard way. You know, watching kind of privileged, for the most part, college students who can, like, camp out on a lawn for 10 days and not worry about being homeless. Like, one does find that frustration of, like, there's such inequalities going on here and devastating things going on here. The cops here are awful and horrific to people. Like, if we could maybe not be one issue peoples in our politics, that would be kind of great. You know, if you want to stand with inhumanes and humanity, make sure you stand with them all. All of the things that are, like, pressing and horrific that are happening.
I think I agree that we do need more of this energy in general for, say, the homelessness crisis. And, you know, there's so much stuff going on in this country that need. But I will say that a lot of it does not get the is happening, but doesn't get that same press.
Of course.
You know, Israel and Palestine, as soon as those words are brought up, immediately there's press there.
Yeah, and we have a corporate media, and they, you know, bad things happening in our country don't sell as well to the masses, and therefore get, like, put out there as well. And I'm not saying that in a light way. Look at the way it is shoved down, you know, the jokes going on even just about Trump's trial right now. You know, they're basically reporting when this man sneezes, when he shits, when he breathes, when he turns his neck. Watching Jake Tapper make a fool out of himself over on CNN, over talking about drawings of Donald Trump. Are we fucking for real? But as I've always heard, this is the wag the dog moment. The more we can distract you with things at home that take up news cycles, the less we have to admit of, like, our awfulness.
That we're committing genocide, for example.
Exactly. No, exactly. And that is the way the game is played as far as, you know, that higher level power. But I don't want people to get bummed out. Clearly, the kind of protesting and the stuff, and this is why I'm really bringing this up, that's going on is drawing attention. It's making waves. It's creating a discourse and a conversation. Y'all need to, like, be careful how you do this sometimes, though, because it shouldn't turn nasty. But if we are able to do that and harness that energy, we are in a state of the world that we need to bring that energy all the time. And it doesn't have to be the same people all the time. We can, right, like, spread the wealth of needing to, like, push against these really horrible inequities in our systems, like the brutalities of power, you know, the stealing of wealth. I remind people, every time you see that there's new trillionaires, that means there's a whole bunch of new poor people too, because that's how capitalism be working. So you don't get to win unless somebody loses. You don't become Jeff Bezos unless you steal a bunch of money in terms of labor from your employees by paying them nothing while you pay yourself a lot. This is the game.
Okay, I have to switch gears here really quick.
Yes, switch it.
Somebody just texted me while we're on this and said, long time no see, how is your life? It's from a number I don't know, but I've had the same number forever. So who the fuck knows? So I entertain it. So I say, who is this? Then they said, I just deleted number. I don't know what that means. So I don't know if it's wrong. Nicole, is this Nancy number, please? And I said, it's not. And then they go, okay, sorry. I just checked the wrong number. I hope you will forgive such a careless girl. Was this, like, sexual? Is this person trying to be punished by me? Like, what? I hope you'll forgive such a naughty, naughty girl.
I think you need to
Will you spank me?
Send your cash app and, like, a nice response.
like, what? That's so interesting.
The weird and I don't know what the scheme is. They all have to be a scheme because it's weird text. Like, my partner got one the other day. I got one a couple of weeks before that. It's like, Linda, it's been ages. I'm like, not Linda. Oh, well, my name is so-and-so.
And then they try to, like, have a conversation.
Exactly. I'm like,
Those I've seen before. This one is a little different because it's
that's true.
It's not trying to carry on the conversation, but it's like, I hope you'll forgive such a careless girl. Like, what the fuck? Oh, it's so entertaining. I would love to, like, enter. Should I just keep going?
Yeah.
Should I be like, I forgive you? Let's see how this plays out.
Oh, my God. You should definitely write, I forgive you.
I forgive you. You careless, silly, naughty girl.
No.
I'm not going to say that. I'm just going to say, I forgive you. I'm so, like, interested in how these schemes, like, take hold.
Oh, yeah, me too.
How do you get to the point where you're giving someone all of your money out of your account? Oh, you know, I've seen that so many times.
This is a good point. I should warn. So, you know, we got this the other day in, like, our business email. We got a scam for a job, a position. And, you know, these things happen. But this one was pretty clever. They had, like, a website. There was a lot of ways. Unfortunately, because I do work in consulting, the level of generalization that this consulting firm didn't sit right with me. It didn't make any sense the way the job was described. You know, so you read through this stuff and you're like, well, where... Like, I can tell this is a scam, but where is the scam at?
Sure.
You know, because it didn't ask for my social security number. You know, it didn't ask for my date of birth. But then we got to the part where it was like, we will do paid training. Fill out your direct deposit form. Which, of course, any of you who have, like, done direct deposit, it's your routing and your account number for your bank. No.
The information needed to take your bank and drain it.
So, and just if any of you ever get something this weird, I highly recommend, and this is also where the government is, like, a scam. So I forwarded it to the FEC, Federal Employment. I forwarded it to the government agency responsible for, like, fraudulent, like, employer schemes. Mm-hmm. And just so you know, it will make it seem like you have to give tons of your personal information. You don't. It's all as many as they put the boxes on. And here's your government trying to collect data on you. You don't need to fill out any of them except report the company, give the URL, and give, like, the phone number, like the details of the company trying to scam you. Fill in that. You don't have to fill in the rest of it if you ever come across this. And I think you will, because it is on the rise. With people working contract, remote, gig jobs, there is a lot of stuff that doesn't seem as crazy as it used to, because people's practices of doing everything, including your video interview, including your, you know, everything online, you know, and I should know, I've been doing these for a few years now. I have gotten jobs where I never met a person in real life ever. So that, and I got paid, so that wasn't a scam. But, like, you know, just be, because we're that kind of podcast, be careful.
Okay, this is getting interesting. Thank you for not blaming me. Nice to meet you. Do you live in Massachusetts? Your area code is quite similar to my friend's area code. She lives there. Your area code is quite similar? You mean it's the same? There's not, it's not like 508. Quite similar. It's like 518. 518 is a different state, you know? Yeah. So,
because it's what? Massachusetts is 617, 508, 413,
781, or 718? 718. New York is either 781 or 718.
Yeah, they're like inverse somehow. Yeah. No, for sure.
I always forget.
This is funny. So, this is definitely.
So, I said no. Let's see what they say. This is funny to me. I don't know why. Sometimes I watch those YouTubers that will do the scam. They'll, like, go through the motions of giving, like, up to the point where, like, they'll give fake information or whatever, but up to the point where
they
finally are like, oh yeah, I'm scamming you now.
I've told you how, like, my whole life, like, changed course, so to speak, because somebody prank called my dad's house.
Yeah.
Like, it was a queer person that prank called me, which is even like my
became your friend, right?
Yeah. And then I ended up like literally, I mean, like it's the butterfly effect if I've ever seen it. This trans girl, high school girl at the high school, my competing high school across the river, however you want to say it. You know how small towns be, Palmer versus whatever. She like called my house and like, you know, did some stupid, like, is your refrigerator running? And I was like, that is so lame. But come to find out, you know, end up meeting up with them. They tell me, like, they're dating a football player at my high school. And I think this is, like, all kind of bullshitty. But, like, it's not. You know, she ends up coming out to me as trans. I actually, my best friend is friends with the person she's dating who didn't know she was trans at the time. And we spent a lot of time when we first met discussing, like, how to, like, share that properly and it not have, like, blowback, you know? Because we didn't know. We were fucking young. We were 15, 16 years old trying to figure this out. But what was great is she apparently just randomly, her and another friend that became my friend for years, they randomly opened the phone book and just, like, bam, threw their finger down. They didn't know my family. They didn't know anything. They lived in, like, the next town ever. And this ended up creating, like, I mean, I ended up, like, being exposed to Ani DiFranco because of this. Like,
I mean, like, changed the history of your life forever.
But, yeah.
You wouldn't be the lesbian you are today if it wasn't for Ani, let's be honest.
It's so true. Because Ani and the Indigo Girls kind of came simultaneously, mm-hmm. you know, because they... That's how it works. And then you get your toaster oven and all is well. It's such an old lesbian joke. I love it.
Oh, Jesus. That's cute.
I was pretty much raised by lesbians. I'll be very real and honest about that to most people. Because, you know, the women, queer women, and this has always been the case historically, were way more fucking fiercer than the rest of us. A little, like, shy, quiet, gay boys in a corner somewhere who are like... And there's many reasons why, right? There's a lot more... can be a lot more physical aggression towards same-sex men when they see these things. And, like, but, you know, these women were fierce. They got shit, and they were fierce. They're like, if you talk shit again to my little, like, gay boy nephew here, I'm going to chop your balls off. And, like, these men were kind of scared of them. I thought that was great. So, yeah, I was raised by angry pack of lesbians. But, like, you know, music and poetry. I mean, I'm a perfect lesbian. On paper, I am a perfect lesbian.
You are.
Yep.
You absolutely are.
That's why it made it hard.
I'm quite a great gay man.
You are, because it was like, you know, I imagine in, like, some of these things, like, you know, the gay boys taking their lesbian friends shopping because, like, you know, maybe they wear a little too much LL Bean, you know? And honestly, I kind of was like that when you met me.
You had the worst style, baby boy.
I was like, so hippie, funny. Lesbian, patchouli, like, oversized clothes, you know?
No, it was not any one particular thing you were wearing, it was how you put it together. You weren't putting it together right. And okay. Now you put it together right. You got it all sorted. But at the very beginning, you weren't dressing for your body type, and you weren't putting outfits together. And then you always wore those stupid fucking hats that I wanted to rip off your head and throw into the ocean. So the hats. No bueno. But it's funny because it's full circle now because baggy clothes are back in style. Nobody's wearing skinny anything anymore. Yeah, like,
I married that and I can't wear baggy clothes. That's not allowed.
I love it. I love that I'm back to wearing what I wore in seventh grade, but I actually can get more than, like, one pair of jeans because, you know, they're not $150 to get one pair of baggy jeans. God. So crazy. Remember JNCOs? Those pieces of shit. I mean, they're still a thing now, but...
Where is that? When I was in... When I lived in Boston, some friends came to visit, like 21 years old or whatever. And I was taking them around town, and I don't know if I dropped something, whatever. I bent over, and I split my pants. And this was kind of a problem because I am a fucking puta. I wasn't wearing any underwear. So I needed to immediately resolve this. And this is where I got my first exposure because, yes, I was a little small town boy for the most part. I went into, with my friend, into this store that said Diesel because it said there was a sale on jeans. And yes, I'm being honest. I had no fucking idea what Diesel was. My friend, who was a lesbian, sort of did, but I don't think either of us really comprehended what was going to happen when it went to the, like, rack for the things on sale. They were on sale for $400. And this is 20 something years ago. And I was like, what? And, you know, not to be, like, completely, but I was like, is this right? Are you sure? Like, because I was willing to go 40. And I thought 40 was a lot because the jeans I bought were probably 7. So, and then, no, 400. And it was some queen, like, pursing her teeth at me. Like, that's what the price is, honey. And I said, okay, I hear you, girl. What? So, and because I have no shame, fuck you, $400. Bitch, you work in retail. You telling me you can afford these jeans? Anyhow, so I look at her and I says, where can I go to get some jeans under $50? Because, you know, I'm 20-something. I'm thinking my bank account probably has, you know, $63.19 left. And I got paid yesterday. So, you know, like, he's like, well, you could try Urban Outfitters.
Which, like, you probably still couldn't find for that price there. That's fucking hilarious.
I could not. And this was honestly before, you know, TJ Maxx and all those things, Marshall started really infecting the city. You know, mm-hmm. like, that wouldn't come for, like, a few more years. So, whatevs. Anyhow, that's my story about my lack of fashion. I don't know how I got here. Don't know where I'm going. But yeah, that's the story. That's the 411.
Oh, shit.
Good Lord. I don't know why I'm so nostalgic today. I think whenever shit, it's springtime, right? And I don't know how other people are, but I get real fucking nostalgic in the spring. Like, warm weather starts popping up and... You know, after spending so much time indoors with your own brain, you know, bouncing off the walls because, like, outside is less pleasant, you know, you go out there and, I don't know, I think it is our moment to, like, have with nature. And I know a lot of people struggle, right, like, during this time period, too. It is, you know, scientifically, I guess, been recorded that people, like, depression can really kick in this time of year. That renewal is actually has that opposite effect on some people, especially if they've been going through stuff. In their life. And, you know, some of my closest friends have chosen this time of year over the years, unfortunately, to leave us. So, you know, if you're struggling right now, this is a great time. Reach out to things and don't isolate. You know, I get it. You know, every year spring has not been wonderful for me either. But I'm feeling nostalgic this year, and I'm feeling nostalgic in a very, like, happy remembrance way of, yeah, even people I've lost, and, like, just trying to, like, recall and remember their greatness, the things that they were very special about. So I'm trying to own that as the spring sets in, because, you know, I want to have a good fucking summer. We've been living some global trauma with, like, the shit going on and, like, the pandemics and the wars. Like, I want to feel fucking good this summer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wish I wasn't so fat right now, you know? And I mean that in a, like, for me loving kind of way. I have not been able to work out the way I want to, you know, and it's making me feel very lethargic and, like, body conscious, but, you know, fuck it.
I personally am doing great on my body consciousness. Yes! And
see, we'll have to trade positions. No, you look really good in those photos from that wrestling match too.
That's thank some you I'm just shit. Trying to be nice and healthy. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, go balls to the wall or anything. I just need to, like, I have a bad knee, and I didn't work out for like 4 days. I did walks and hikes with my dog, but I didn't like work out for 4 days, and I felt the effects after. And so I'm just not going to stop doing that. Yeah. You know, I need to just stay consistent. No. And again, it's health and feeling good. It has nothing to do with weight or any of that shit. That is absolutely a subsequent side effect. I had the weight to lose, so it came off.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have weight to lose, but you just want to exercise to be healthy.
Yeah.
That's a good enough reason. Just exercise to be healthy. You don't have to worry. Like, weight does not have to be the goal ever.
Yeah.
Just
honestly, that's all I mean by fatness. I feel uncomfortable. Like, I don't even mean like a physical meeting, because I know how relative it is for everybody. You know, we all see our bodies differently. I feel fat and uncomfortable like when my body is not doing everything I need it to do for me.
Yeah.
You know, and that's...
Well, you're feeling tough. All bloated and shit. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's horrible. Wah. I know.
Every time Aaron complains to me about his bloating, I just remind him that this happens to me once a month and I don't care.
No, that's really true. But I will say this, it at least goes away, right? I've been bloated for fucking 4 months.
Yeah, but then when yours goes away, it'll be gone for life. And then mine's still back. Next month.
That's awful.
Kidding. Two things can be true. You can have you can have it worse than somebody else, and you can still give them sympathy and not try to redirect the conversation to your own shit.
You know?
Everybody out there, cough.
That is actually a really super important thing you just said, because this is a conversation, especially with shit being heated up lately, that I'm starting to realize, you know, and I'll use my favorite example. Bill Maher. No. So you'll get in a lot of intellectual circles, and a character like Bill Maher will be divisive. But most people will say, but he's really good when he talks about this. Absolutely. I'm not going to point out what exactly, but there are types of analysis and types of ways of being and that people are good at in some categories.
Yeah, you can be good at a thing and also suck at other things.
Exactly. You know, I always said this, because, you know, you could have, a sibling or a cousin, and you both can have, a totally different experience. And I think I noticed this a lot with, little girl cousins versus little boy cousins, that there's, an uncle or an aunt that one of them, absolutely hates, absolutely terrified or disgusted by it, and the other is, totally, I love this uncle. They're golden, you know, and it's because the two kids get kind of treated differently, right? You know, they're, for whatever reason, the interaction isn't the same with everybody. And that's really tough, because.
Yeah, not every kid gets diddled by the creepy uncle. And so you might like creepy uncle, but your cousin doesn't like creepy uncle because you didn't get diddled by creepy uncle, and they did, you know?
Right. Yeah, I mean.
Sorry, I didn't mean to go there, but it was glaringly. It was smacking me in the face.
But that's kind of what I'm talking about, right? Because it's tough, you know? And it gets tough to know what to do if, let's say, you know that information, but you still feel a way about a parent or, you know, an aunt or an uncle or some, or, you know, even a friend. It's very complicated to hear people say, I love Woody Allen movies. Yeah, I do too. Do we love Woody Allen? No, we don't love Woody Allen.
You know what? My opinion of all of that is, not talking about the family scenario, but talking about artists and people that are create, that are for public consumption, just don't talk about it publicly. How about that?
I think that's,
you know, it's okay. Whether or not, I should say this, whether or not it's okay for you to consume Woody Allen movies any longer or listen to Puff Daddy or, you know, put on an R. Kelly record, that's not up for me to decide what's okay for you to do. Yeah. But one thing you could probably do is not publicly support them.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah. How about you just don't talk about it? How about you go into your private little room and you enjoy whoever's fucking music, artistry, whatever, while keeping them canceled, keeping their name out of your mouth? Because guess what that does? It insta-triggers people around you.
Well,
and, you know, I don't.
And I'll be honest.
I don't want to say that we're all so sensitive, but like, how many times do we have to have a study to show that 1 in 3 people in this room right now have been sexually assaulted of some sort? Maybe let's not talk about the amazing music of the sexual assaulter. You know, it's just, shut the fuck up about it. That's my opinion.
I think most people know that. I think the ones that are doing it are provocateurs.
It's probably true.
And I think they want to make the same point that we're making, but they're doing it in the wrong fucking way. You are allowed, and I guess that's my only point, you're allowed to have your relationship with somebody and feel a certain way about something without, like, cutting yourself off from the knowledge that they are also this. And I think that's very difficult. You know, I've always said this. I do think for the most part, the idea of cancel culture is coming from conservative ideologies. There is nothing to be gained in movement building and trust building if somebody gets something wrong and we just tell them to fuck off in the world. But there's a difference between cancel culture and people who are harmful to society.
Talking about somebody said something fucked up once. We're talking about people that are convicted.
Right.
Pedophiles, rapists, groomers. Again,
this is where binaries don't serve any of us. Like, it is not so black and white with so many things. It's not so this or that. We have to be able to, you know, appreciate that we are all kind of growing up with some basic similarities in life and culture, and that is in terms of power and access and where we get to be in the world based on the way our systems are set up, right? And then there are people who are experiencing even more horrendous things, also based on where they are in the world, what they look like in the world, how they are in the world. And that's tough. And for all of us to be able to get along and work against the coming disasters that are going to keep like happening in the world, we need to be able to work together more and more, not less and less. You know, it's always, and I say this because I saw this somewhere again about this LGBT, you know, the alphabet souping out, right? And this is crazy, but like, bear with me for a second. Like, I understand that identity is hugely important to people and that we all come to our identity through a very personal and intimate process, and we're all entitled to that. I want us to be able to recognize that and at the same time recognize that there are huger, broader things out to get all of us. And it don't matter what initial you are. Some may have it worse. This is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about everybody having it at a base level bad when it comes to how this power works. And us being able to at the same time recognize that some have it super worse and some are going to have like additional conflicts and struggles and safety concerns. We need to realize that, but like the solidarity that is going to help with protection of everybody, no matter what the level of dynamic is us sticking together. And I cannot stress that more. The more they divide us and tell us we're not alike, the less we're going to be able to work together to tell them, fuck you, this is your fault. And we need to be able to do a lot of fuck you, this is your fault. You caused this. You know, the people that, yes, have more access and think that they can opine on what we are all, the rest of us, allowed to deserve and have.
You know what I realized the other day?
What?
The scent of Gain makes my nipples hard.
The scent of what?
Gain.
The detergent.
Yes.
Oh. I thought you said the scent of gay, and I was like, that makes my nipples
hard. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning into The Screw, where we once in a while will talk about sex.
Yeah, we fit that in, I think.
No, we did not. There was nothing there.
Whatever.
All right. Tune in, like, subscribe. We love you. Bye.
Bye.